This is CliffCentral.com.
Let's wake up. Let's get going. We got a day to kill today.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, what happened to me this morning? I woke up perfectly on time. Had a little shower. I felt like $1 million when I got out. I just thought, you know what? I got enough sleep last night for a change. This sleep thing really does work.
It really helps.
For years and years, people have been talking about
it. I know. I've been ignoring them at my peril.
Oh.
You know, the problem is I can't get to sleep too early. I try and it does not work for me. It doesn't help. I get into bed and then I lie there. My mind is racing and I'm thinking about all the things I got to do the next day. And I know I'm not the only one, right? There are a lot of us who do this.
Mm.
I do not get to sleep early. And you could put me in bed at like 9, but I won't get to sleep before midnight. Anyway, let me stop complaining about my stupid stuff. What's happening, everybody?
Is it really complaining,
though? Can we do something? Can I just... this is going to irritate the hell out of me if we carry on doing this show even for another month.
Okay.
Can we just get headphones and microphones and shit sorted out before we start at 6? It drives me fucking mad that every time I come in here, there has to be this and stuff. And I mean, is it going to kill anyone to get in here on fucking time?
Excuse me?
Thank you very much. Would it kill?
No, it wouldn't kill, Gareth, but how many times are you on time for this show? Can we not start like this?
Yeah.
You are throwing a tantrum.
I'm having a tantrum.
Let's not do this way. How many times are you on time for this show?
Okay. Woosa. Woosa. Do you want to catch your breath? Do you want to play a song?
No, whatever. Whatever.
No, let's play a song quickly.
No, I don't want to play a song. I got a really nice compliment about Ben. This is nice.
Uh-huh.
Just a friendly request to all the Cliff Central listeners. This is from Innes. He says, our favorite sports reader, Ben, also has some remarkable video-making skills. The drone footage is beautiful, and he puts good techniques to good use in the editing. Go to YouTube, search, follow the bounce, one word, and click that subscribe button.
Well, thanks, Innes.
Yeah.
Even if you don't watch the whole video, let's do the guy a solid and get him some more subscribers. It won't cost you anything, but in the world of YouTube, the subs count is very important. Last time I checked, he had only 170 subscribers. I know we can do a whole lot better than that. Regards, the number one bounce fan.
Thanks, Innes. That's really nice. And constructive criticism, as always. I always appreciate that.
Cool. Is that really an Innes or is it Ben who sent it?
No, it's Innes.
Who created a fake account?
No, just remind us again, what kind of videos do you do, Ben?
Well, Mabs, it's about my life, really. If I go on trips, I do that. I'm just trying to kind of create more visual content because people don't really read much anymore. So like the Club Med trip, this example Innes is referring to. So I was in a great location, did really cool things. It's hard work editing.
And when you go on your golf courses, do you also do videos of that stuff?
Yeah, exactly. But I've got such respect for people who make videos. Like, it's just, it takes all day because you got to time things to music and you've got to really have the right kind of mix of visuals, moving shots, still shots. And it's something I'm definitely learning and enjoying.
Goodness, say what you will, it's a lot of work. Like, it's fine and we can spend hours on end watching videos on YouTube, but I think the back end of it, how long does it take just to create one video?
I don't know, like, it really depends on what you're working with. Sometimes content just flows from one to the next and it's really fun. Other times you've really got to try to construct something, or if your shots aren't that great, you've really got to try almost like cheat them by putting them in a certain sequence. So like a 6-minute video can take maybe 8 to 10 hours.
Oh, whoa.
But also remember, like, I've only been doing this for maybe 2 months now.
Yeah.
So when I say 8 to 10 hours, that's still maybe novice time.
Yeah, it'll get better.
Yeah, I hope. But thanks, Innes.
Yeah, it's a nice email. We got Elson on Skype. You want to talk to Elson? Elson is in
Zambia, isn't it?
Well, Zambia. It depends on whether he's being pursued or not. Hey, Elson, what's up, dude?
Hey, Gareth. I'm never pursued.
Well, I don't know so much about that. Sometimes you're pursued by women, sometimes the authorities. You never know.
Here you go. I left that life alone.
What's happening, dude?
I'm good. You all right?
Yeah. Yeah, hundreds.
Hey, my belly.
Hi, how are you?
Mr. Big Head.
Hey, that morning.
Sia.
Good morning.
Kunjan Bud.
Good, thanks, Woody. How are you?
So, hey, that's the only Zulu that I know.
Oh, that's where it starts and stops. I was like, oh, this is interesting.
If you go further than that.
Hey, I'm what like, about, okay, why don't you say hello to Amanda? What's wrong with you?
Oh, hey, Amanda. Well, I don't know how this, is she called?
What? Just say hello to Amanda. Fucking racist.
Hey, Amanda.
Hey, Elson.
How are you?
Good, and yourself?
Fantastic.
All right. Thank you, Elson. All right, is that, what did you call for? You have something to say?
Okay. Of course. Don't I always? So here's what I'm thinking. This has been popping up. And I want advice, obviously, from you or from anybody who has been, who's had a career change. For a while now, well, obviously, as well, from listening to Ben, I've been thinking of switching my career to trying and focusing on drones commercially. Since I moved here, this has been popping up here and there. I've got a very good friend who works for UNFPA, who's been telling me that the United Nations are now using drones to deliver contraceptives as well as other things to, I think, Rwanda. So it got to a point where a mate of mine who's in China actually got two drones that are in SA. And when I was thinking about it, they were talking about actually using this. There's a whole list of things. Like, think of wildlife, for an example. You know how you can drive around a game park for hours looking for where the animals are?
Yeah.
If you're smart, you can have these guys on retainer where they can use your drone. You hoist the thing in the sky, and then it tells you exactly where the animals are. It cuts down the process of tracking these motherfuckers in half.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So obviously, well, the help and the advice that I need from you is, do you think that this is commercially something that you can actually focus on and make money with, or just something you can obviously just do on the side and not do 100%?
Well, from my understanding, the barrier to entry is just that you need a pretty big investment to get going. So you need like a decent drone. And with that, there are some legal ramifications that you got to kind of take into consideration. But throughout the African continent, I think it's definitely something that's going to have more of a demand, for sure. Because, I mean, you just mentioned one thing there where there could be a demand. The you know, because you understand, like, a lot of infrastructure and roads aren't that great in certain areas. And that is why, like, the World Health Organization is going the drone route for many things.
Look, I mean, these are fantastic machines. They allow us to go to places we've never been before. They allow us to do things that we've never done before. But they are expensive, and a lot of them... You know, the battery doesn't last that long. So if you're traveling the width of the Kruger National Park, you're going to need some serious battery power. And some of these machines cost hundreds of thousands of rands.
Yeah.
I mean, especially the ones that have to go long distances and have to, you know, they've got fancy camera equipment attached to them. I mean, I saw one at a show Sia and I went to a while ago. Was that
MediaTek?
You MediaTek can't believe. Let me tell you something. This thing, it's like a helicopter. You practically put a person on the top and bob up and down. It's got an amazing camera. It can go really high. It can go really far. And to be a pilot for one of those things requires some serious skill too. So it's not the kind of thing that you could just pick up and do on any given day and then it'll, you know, you'll be able to do this. It's not like riding a bicycle. But you do raise a good point. I'll tell you something. If I had... And you remember we did that on the Dreamtrepreneur competition here on Cliff Central once. We had these two dudes who started a drone flying business where they would pilot drones for you if you needed aerial photography done or whatever else. And I think they ended up doing quite well. Now, that was a very clever business, and that was in 2014. So, you know, that's already a couple of years ahead of the curve. So you're absolutely right, Elson. And... The more difficult the terrain, the more dangerous the place, the more likely that a drone will be the way to get the information or to get the goods delivered to where you need to have them dropped off.
Yeah, also 360-degree filming. You know, people going into that whole augmented reality kind of space. This weekend, I'm taking one of these setups. A friend of mine's got it. We're going out to a golf course to film, like, the whole 360.
Hmm. So, see, Ben, I'm worried about you because trees run after your drone.
Yeah.
But I jump out and run.
But this friend of mine's a real pro, so I'm in good hands.
All right.
Right.
What would you use it for? I mean, do you want to fly one of these things?
Oh, not me. I'm clumsy when it comes to this. So not...
Oh my god. Yeah, that's how clumsy it was.
Smashed his throat into his phone.
All right. Wow, okay.
Right. Here's something interesting. You know, we've been talking kind of a lot about KPMG. So I got this from somebody. Off the record, he says, please let me remain anonymous. I found myself having an incredible career within KPMG. As management, we're trying to confirm whether or not we've allowed ourselves to be used as the means to an end. Mm-hmm. That's the SARS report, which you already confirmed. That should never have been allowed. My heart goes out to our junior colleagues as we're facing further consequences as terrifying as it seems. The young emerging auditors starting their careers at KPMG are again the biggest losers. Now livelihoods of the majority of honorable professionals are on the line. Yes, we were used as a tool, and that should never have happened. Irrespective of all the above, my heart goes out to the young South African professionals who are faced with these challenges. Yes, there were mistakes made, but are we really the true White Walker dragon? I don't think so. My blast opinion, obviously, cheers. Well, this is an interesting point because a lot of people are now saying, oh, well, KPMG, you see, that's the rotten stuff. That's the business that's rotten. But for business to be rotten, there has to be a rotten government to do business with. And for government to be rotten, there has to be rotten business to do business with. In other words, money has to exchange hands between rotten people.
Yeah.
And this is where, like, nobody's more to blame than the other. Both are bad. But I always reserve a little bit of extra hatred for those people in public office because they're the ones who are meant to look after the poor, who are meant to look after the interests of the country as a whole. I mean, KPMG is a for-profit enterprise. You know, in absolute terms, you could always say they've got to chase the money. Regardless, that's their job. They're not there as a conscientious or NPO who are trying to raise the living standard for people in South Africa. That's not their job. Their job is to make a profit. They're not going to hire more people than they need. They're not going to pay more than they have to. They're going to try and up their income as much as they possibly can. But they've decided, as have all businesses in South Africa, they're going to make a contribution. So then don't be disingenuous and do dodgy deals like this.
Yeah, because then you have to wonder, well, what's more important? Who did the more wrong or who looks worse? Because you both did wrong. So...
Yeah. Well, again, if you have voted into office and your job is not to run a profit-making enterprise, but to run a department in government, for example, then there's an extra bit of responsibility in you. And that's why I say the kind of people who go for public office need to be the best of us. And they need to be people who aren't motivated by money. Because being motivated by money is, that's what all of us ordinary people are. Mm. You need to be almost special.
Above such trappings.
I know that it's impossible and I'm being an idealist. Wouldn't it be nice though if there were politicians who actually gave a damn about us and who took our vote seriously and thought, well, I'm there to represent people. Because that's so far from where we are now.
Also took themselves seriously. I mean, they're just corruption, like, puppets. If they took themselves seriously, they would have more integrity.
Well, I'm sure it must be a scary time for anyone working at KPMG who actually didn't have anything to do with this.
Exactly.
Because, again, it's always a case of a few bad apples that ruin it for everyone. Because now, SARS have said that they are going to be taking all kinds of legal action against KPMG. They want to report them to the international bodies. Mm. Like, it seems like they're hell-bent.
But again, it's like soft targets.
Yeah. It seems like they're hell-bent on making an example. Because, again, that's what this is about. Make examples of people in life. That's how we roll.
Just not the Guptas, though, because the Guptas pay you.
Yeah.
Well, look, you know what? I'm even more impressed with how quickly we moved on from my temper tantrum earlier.
Me too.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Look at how Sia just, he doesn't like conflict.
No.
he doesn't like it at all. Didn't
this
deal with it.
This is awkward. Yeah. My brother and sister are now fighting. I'm
I kind of got in there with my tantrum as well.
Yeah, we both had a tantrum.
You can't exactly like.
Listen, this is what we do that nobody else does. If other people in radio or television were as honest as we are, you'd be watching them and listening to them. They're not. They go, hi, I'm. Don't worry, it's fine.
No, I just not us. Like, don't wrestle to the ground though.
Hey, we had some fun.
Like, if there was ever a moment for a stray cockroach to break a silence,
oh,
that was it.
Yes.
But no, they're all dead.
Damn, they're that all fumigation dead. That worked.
Listen, did the fumigation work? Because I heard yesterday that we're going to have to do it again.
Why?
What?
How many of these goddamn cockroaches are there in this place?
Well, I physically killed one. We all know that.
Yeah, I saw that with my very eyes. It turned into a white and yellow and green mess right in front of me.
Yeah, I think I got the main guy as well because
he
was different colors.
Ben smashed it with his glasses case. Yo!
Murderer!
Very hard.
Blood on your hands. And goo.
It was mostly goo, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yuck.
So you know like the whole survival thing, which I believe I'll always be good in a zombie apocalypse?
Yeah.
Daniel and I have started watching Fear the Walking Dead again. It is so boring.
It is boring, right?
I couldn't, like, it's quite
I watched
funny.
That first episode and I was bored.
Is that the...
It's basically
prequel.
Okay, so yeah,
like a spin-off.
So if you look at Walking Dead, basically everyone who put their CVs forward to be on The Walking Dead and weren't quite good enough, they made a show called Fear the Walking Dead. The plot lines are less interesting. The action scenes are less convincing. The budgets are like lower. It's just like it's like the B show.
It's very bad.
It's so bad.
Now is The Walking Dead the new season? Because I saw a trailer or a promo. And remember, I fell off of that show somewhere at the beginning when that guy, that Neelan, or whatever his name was, when he became the guy, then I sort of lost it because it was just so violent. So violent. Ugh.
So what are you asking now?
No, is there a new season? What's going on there?
Sure.
Well, The Walking Dead is still filming. Remember, because last week we briefly discussed the fact that production was halted because of...
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I am very confused.
I can't remember whether they said
hurricanes
seven?
And
hurricanes and zombies. Yeah.
Season
gonna work.
7 or season 8 that they're currently filming?
It looks like there will be a new season, according to IMDb, for release in 2018.
Okay.
So
there's still a market for it.
I'm just looking forward to season 3 of Narcos, which I'm going to start watching as of this weekend.
Now that.
I heard this is amazing.
I tried to watch a few episodes of it, and I'd get why it was interesting. I think I fell off towards the end, though, of season 1. Because I like the real element of it. I like the whole, he was just living his life, spending the money, being loud and reckless. But then, I don't know. I can't remember where I got off.
That story, apparently there's a guy killed in Mexico. Did you hear this?
Yes.
This guy was, he was scouting. Yeah, no. This is a real life story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's happened now. A guy was scouting locations for narcos. And they found him in a car, dead. Car riddled with bullets. Oh, yeah. The whole thing. Are you trying to, tell me that Elson's back? Okay. Because Amanda was like gesticulating.
Wait, so this is recent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is now.
Wait, is
this just happened.
Drug game still up and running and happening? Pardon my ignorance.
Yes, very much. It's very much happening. There's still these dangerous people who do this kind of thing, partake in this kind of, these guys, they think, obviously, they know what the show is. They've seen that the show's going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they are... They're frightened because it's getting too close to home.
But on the scale of Pablo Escobar,
no, it's up there. It's crazy.
Because he was like, wasn't he manufacturing drugs in the middle of the forest and?
He was in Colombia for a lot of the time. I mean, Ben, you've watched up to the end of season 2, right?
Yeah. So look, Escobar was the big deal. But the thing is, like, there were so many other players all in his shadow. So all the authorities went over after Escobar thinking he was going to be like the Saddam Hussein of the drugs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as soon as he fell, then they realized they've actually got a problem on their hand, because while all the focus was on him, these other cartels were just making so much more. So that's where season 3 picks up. It's post-Pablo. But now Miami, which is completely built on drug money,
mm-hmm.
try to get Trump to deny that, is completely built on cocaine. Those are all cocaine skyscrapers.
So you're talking about starting to watch season 3, right?
Yeah.
So this guy, Carlos Munoz Portal, he was scouting. He was scouting for season 4 already, and apparently the area that his body was found in, and you're right about his car being riddled with bullets, Gareth. It's an area that is synonymous with homicides, but the authorities are saying that they're having difficulty piecing together what happened to him and why it would have happened. But in the meantime, the show has raised concerns about whether or not to keep their production in Mexico or to now move it back to Colombia, where the show originally started.
Oh.
So it's caused quite a bit of a headache for them.
I'll tell you what, TV's never been so exciting.
Or surreal.
Yeah. By the way, the Emmys, apparently the lowest Emmy ratings ever. Ever.
Oh,
is that right?
Well, this... The Emmys this year couldn't even get me to wake up and watch live, so...
Yeah.
And you usually do.
Yeah,
you would usually watch that. I mean, Oprah was there.
Oprah was the most thanked. She was sitting in the front row, and I think one of the very first recipients stood up and said, well, I'd like to thank Oprah, because you're sitting in the front, and it just seems wrong for me to just miss you out. And then the second one also stood up and said, well, because the first person said it, well, thank you, Oprah.
She hadn't done anything, but she got a thanks anyway.
No, yeah. Just because she was there.
That's how you know you're powerful in the entertainment industry. When people thank you and you didn't do anything.
And who was she accessorizing with, Stedman or Gail?
None of the above.
Oh.
She was there with her team from a movie she did.
All right, in a little while, I've got to play you something that shows you how dumb people are in the US, but in the world. And we've got to get to some sport with Ben. We've got to get to some money with Anthea. We'll talk about wisdom with Said by Sia. But before we go to any of that, let's go first to the news. And at least the five things that you need to know to start your day this morning, brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. If you're looking for high-quality food, great service, teamed with a relaxed atmosphere, then Colcacchio Pizzeria is the place for you. Colcacchio Pizzeria is a family-friendly environment which allows everyone to enjoy being part of the whole pizzeria experience. And these guys know what they're doing, so now it's your turn to find out what you need to know to start your day. Over to you, Mubs.
Well, I know that of late we've been engrossed with Gupta leaks, Gupta emails, the Zuptas, Ubabaga Duduzani. When was the last time you heard Oscar Pistorius' name? Because remember there was a time where we were engrossed with that.
His grandmother died a few months ago. I think that was the last time.
He got to go to a funeral, didn't he?
Yeah,
yes, he did. Well, get ready to hear about it all over again, because the Supreme Court in Bloemfontein has set down a day in early November to hear the state's appeal. Yes, they're still appealing of a convicted murderer. The High Court in Pretoria handed the disgraced athlete 6 years behind bars, but Gerry Nel and co. still not satisfied. And so the Supreme Court will be hearing from them once again at a date that is yet to actually be determined. All we know for now is that it will be in early November.
You know,
so that's in a couple of months, actually.
Are we still like really cross with him and we want him to be there forever?
Yeah, I think we've got to be consistent, because of the heat of the time, that's what we wanted.
All right.
I was thinking about it. I think maybe I just feel like a lot of people might also be over it. They're like, you know what, at least you went and you served some time.
Yeah, but murder's for life, though.
Mm. I know.
And also, the law has to work the way that the law works.
I don't want
to
seem wishy-washy, but right now, if he were to be released, I wouldn't have my knickers in a knot.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd be so upset anymore. And also, I think with the passage of time, you just become a little more forgiving and you kind of forget, which is why Ben is saying it's inconsistent, but I think it's just human nature as well.
Oh, no, I don't think I'm like ready to hug the dude and go,
By no means, but you're happy.
Yeah, sometimes
you're happy for him to just get on with his life and try to start making a positive difference. Because you don't really atone for sins in prison. Prison's just a place to push you.
But Gareth, it's also about, to it, though.
Prison's also about being removed from society because you cannot function in it.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
There's
and also it's about that whole punishment thing, which is what is kind meant to important. Be happening.
Yeah. It's like, guys, I'll only atone if I can go back to my life where I've got full freedom and I can do whatever the hell I want.
With Uncle Arnold. Now, a British endurance cyclist has smashed a new Guinness World Record for the fastest circumnavigation of the planet on a bicycle.
Wow. How do you do that when there's so much sea?
Mm. He has ridden 29,000 kilometers in under 80 days.
Sure.
Mark Beaumont cycled for 18 hours a day. I can barely get 20 minutes in the gym. And this guy was going at it for 18 hours every day.
Who's he escaping?
He burned more than 9,000 calories every 24 hours as he crossed Poland, Russia, Mongolia, China, Australia, and the United States. He said that it's literally about riding to the next horizon, according to the Scotsman. I've barely walked for 2.5 months. He also suffered a crash while in Russia on the 9th day in which he broke a tooth and injured his elbow, nearly ending the ride. But, you know, I suppose he was just prepared to persevere. So, yeah, he went on to complete 78 days, covering 29,000 kilometers on his bicycle.
That's a lot of time to be spending on a bike, right?
Mm.
It's a crazy amount of time to be spending on a bike.
Also, what happens to your nether regions?
Oh, they become they rot away. They rot away?
Yeah, basically you need to...
18 hours a day?
It's called called a scrotopectomy, where you need a new... Yes. They put a new one on.
Sure.
Wait, is that real? Because that sounds very real.
Yes. No, it's a real thing.
Well, listen, the whole Jacaranda situation with Dumimuraike has now filtered over into Martin Bester's life. Martin Bester, of course, the co-host on the show. And there are some promoters that have now cancelled Martin Bester's appearance at the Elephant Bull Sports Bar in Lephalale. And simply, you know, according to the marketing manager at the place, Gerard de Roon, he said, look, we had to cancel the show due to negative hype by people. It has everything to do with the Jacaranda situation. Bester is also a singer, and he was due to perform at the spa on the 29th of this month. However, Taron explained that the decision to scrap the performance was made because of requests that were put in by punters that he not perform. Taron said, it's not us saying screw you, Martin Bester. It's the people. And unfortunately, the people are our customers, so screw you indeed.
I feel very bad because I think this is childish. I think it's, you know, it's like the Spur boycott. I mean, don't boycott. Boycotting is very stupid. Do what you do and let other people do what they do. The minute you have a group of people victimizing another group of people or an organization, I just feel like it's stupid. I really don't understand. If you want to go. If you don't want to, don't. If you like Tumimuraike, you do, then that's great. I'm a friend of hers. I like her. I think she's terrific. I think she's got a great sense of humor. And I think if you take one quote out of context, you see, what you got to understand is when you're on radio for 3 hours every day.
5 days a week.
Eventually, you're going to say something that pisses everyone off.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. And she's a comedian. It's her job to be edgy and sometimes a little controversial. And whether she's being honest and that's her opinion or whether she's trying to be funny, that's the only one who could tell you that is Dumi. Like, go and boycott her. It just seems to me like there's a lot of sensitivity, which is unnecessary. She's just doing her job. She's trying to entertain people. If you don't like it, you know, there used to be a time where people, if they didn't like something, would go, I'll switch that off and find something else. Now, you have to destroy that person and you have to destroy the organization they work for. And in the case of Martin Bester, even her colleagues have to be taken down.
Yeah.
So it's just so mean. It's mean-spirited and it's prickly and it's oversensitive and it doesn't speak to me of strength.
It sounds to me like it's a form of power play.
It is.
It gives these people the idea that, oh, I can really destroy their lives. Let's see how far I can push that, actually.
It comes from such a nasty place. It's so unnecessary.
It's like when, you know, people try to get you fired off Idols.
Well, I mean, exactly. I've been through this. Thanks for reminding me.
But I'm sorry, what's the place called where you were set to perform?
Yeah, look, you know, it's not exactly...
Elephant's asshole.
Martin.
Elephant Ball Sports Bar.
Elephant Ball Bag.
See, Martin. He's a singer. He was booked. Right. He had a paycheck.
Absolutely. I get it. But it is not the end of the world. There are other places... And I will even help you find better gigs.
Yeah, but the thing
like
is...
Well, elephants once, and mung, like, it's not like...
Yeah, but see, the problem is that once the elephant's ball bag starts doing that, then other places follow suit because they feel they need to.
Yeah.
Because then if he's somewhere else, people who go to the elephant's scrote will then go to, like, the porcupine's football and say, look, you can't have him here because he wasn't there.
Yeah. And then they start pressuring each other and eventually it becomes... A whole social justice thing. And let me tell you, the social justice thing goes for the left as well as the right. Get all pissy about stuff. Come on. Guys, let's grow up. And don't... Because you got issues and the country isn't necessarily going your way in certain respects, don't take it out on Tumi Morake. She's not the enemy. Neither is Martin Bester. I mean, these are not horrible people. I can vouch
definitely
for them.
Martin. He's a very nice guy. He wouldn't be of someone who's going to harm you.
Oh, he's trying so hard to be nice to everybody, and he is nice. He's a good guy, and Dumi's the same. She's great. Trust me. You don't know them, I know them. Take my word for it. God damn it. All right, Gareth, it's not stupid. It's the free market. Yeah, but it's not the free market when you have people drumming up boycotts. Then it's not. Then it becomes an unfree market. It becomes a... An imbalanced market. It becomes a market that's subject to other forces. Ben, you need to kill the white cockroach to ensure they don't survive. Otherwise, there's one...
I think I did that yesterday.
No, that one was definitely a brown one. It was white after you'd pummeled it.
There were yellow stripes and you oozed white stuff.
This is delightful.
Why don't SARS go after and make an example of the Guptas, says somebody. That's a very good point.
Guys, the Guptas are untouchable. No. I think if there's one thing that we've learned up until now, it's that they are kind of protected, surrounded. It's difficult to infiltrate and to get in there. I don't know what it's going to take, but this is what I've come to understand, is the Guptas are untouchable.
Yeah, like the cockroaches. We'll pick up the scraps, but we have to get that main nest.
Ugh.
All right, let's move on. We've got to get to some sport. Ben, Tuesdays are always a slow day in sports, but you always have some interesting info to throw in, some things to get us thinking about, right? Let's start this morning's sport. See what you got.
When I mention the Paralympics, what comes to mind?
No longer Oscar Pistorius.
Okay, sure.
I was going to say Oscar Pistorius.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't competed in how many years?
I mean, anything in a more pure essence besides these two, and they're going for one guy.
Paralympics.
A great sporting event.
I don't know. Tell us.
Well, you think of it as adversity being conquered, right? Obviously, you don't. But
no, I don't.
Your answers.
Okay.
So you think it's people who have historically been known as disabled. And they're really... Because people say, no, it's not disabled, it's differently abled. And here these people are doing amazing things with what they have in life. And people think, like, maybe this is the true Olympics. This is the true essence of sport and competition and rising above challenges.
All right.
And for many things, like, the Paralympics is actually a real triumph. But it seems that it actually may be really, really dodgy. So, obviously, in the real Olympics... Sorry, that's probably derogatory. But in the Summer Games of able... I don't know. I can't say anything PC right here.
Go on.
The Olympics.
Just say what's on your mind, Ben.
Yeah, it's the Olympics and then the Paralympics.
Yeah. The Olympics. Now, there's doping in that, right? Doping's really bad. Russia as a whole nation doped, and that's not so good.
Right.
In the Paralympics, you don't hear of doping, but have you ever heard of people having their limbs, already severed limbs, shortened even more so they can have more of a disability?
What?
Yeah, this is the kind of stuff that's happening. So people, like, so there's this athlete that's come forward and given a medal back. Now, this is where the controversy is kind of starting. Bethany Woodward won a 200-meter relay medal in the T37. She's got cerebral palsy, I think. This puts her back in 2012. So when she said when she started out, she was the only person in her class, and there were very few people. Suddenly, it like loads of other people came into it, and then people were going, is that person really disabled? And all this kind of skullduggery started to really fit in. So then she said, and she hasn't named any names here, she said that when we got into the relay, there was a person I felt like was giving us an unfair advantage, as in, like, barely disabled in this category.
Uh-oh.
So she's given her medal back because she feels she didn't deserve it because there's someone in her team of marginal disability.
Oh dear. This is...
And this is just, think about it. This is the start, I think, of a few things to come into, because the moment something becomes popular, as humans, we cheat, we steal, we pillage, we do whatever we can with something. And this is what the Paralympics has become. I mean, you mentioned Oscar when I asked the question. Oscar brought a lot of interest into the sphere of athletics, and then people started to really take advantage of it. But can you imagine people trying to make themselves even more so-called disabled so they can really thrive in a certain category?
I think that's just revolting. Like, you know, you have a disability. Trust me, a Paralympic medal is not going to make your life that much different.
Well,
and I feel like if you're going and shaving off an extra bit of your stump to try and get into a different category so that you can be more disabled,
well,
there's something not only physically awry, but you've got mental health problems too.
Yep, and there's other sort of things that are more of a less physical, obvious level that people are kind of claiming that they're really disabled in.
Yeah.
So they are making out that they've... I don't know how to say this. Like, I'm just going to move on from this story.
Okay.
Because I'm only going to offend people. But basically, people are acting like they're really disabled when they're really not.
Yeah.
In certain aspects.
This is also what you're going to get when you have a victim Olympics. And I this is not related to the sports events at all. You know, there's this idea in society that the more difficult and arduous and complicated and oppressed and messed up your life has been, the more of a leg up you deserve.
Yeah.
So eventually what it does is it breeds a bunch of people who are the best at being victims. Yep. Mentally, physically, emotionally, they're just a disaster, and then they deserve the medals.
But it's going to be manipulated and taken advantage of. It just reminds me of the episode of South Park where Cartman decides to go into like the special games, whatever, with Timmy and Jimmy and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And he... I think Cartman pretends he's got cerebral palsy or something, just so he can run in the race, and he still comes last, and he gets really upset because he thought he could win. Rory McIlroy, as of yesterday, celebrated 10 years of being a professional golfer. Starting off looking like Susan Boyle, he's really come a long way. He's a clean-shaven, chiseled individual now. Of his 238 professional starts, he had 122 top 10s, 22 wins, 4 majors, 4 Ryder Cup, 3 Race to Dubai titles, and he's made 44.8 million euros just by playing on the golf course. Obviously, the endorsements go way beyond that. So that's 10 years of McIlroy being a pro. It's quite something, actually. I feel like he's been around forever, but he's still, I think, 28. Very, very good career. But people are asking, has he overperformed or underdelivered on this? Well, because he hasn't made the Tour Championships this year, which is starting this weekend, which are the top 30 players on the PGA Tour. He'll be playing the British Masters next week. And one of two more events he's got left, because this season has been terrible for him. He started off at the SA Open here at Glendower. Then he got a rib injury, and then that was like just one of many, many health issues he's had throughout the year. So he hasn't won a major this year. He's won very little, actually, altogether. So he's doing the British Masters, then he's doing the Dunhill Links at St Andrews. In tennis, it looks like Hawkeye could be replacing those crouching old men.
Okay, what's Hawkeye?
Well, it's the thing that decides where the ball goes in the line. So there are these cameras that are set up, and it's just like in cricket. So you wonder where the ball goes, if it's going to hit the stumps. In tennis, they've got them on the line to see if the ball is in or out. So normally in tennis tournaments, you have people who just shout out, and they raise their arms and stuff. But they want to just kind of scrap the ball together. Just get the cameras out there. It's going to speed up play. There's less doubt. And I think this is a really great step, because also, like, you don't need these people. I know in Wimbledon they do it so they can meet Prince Philip or something, but those days are gone as well. So Hawkeye's going to replace it, and it's starting at the Gen Next finals in Milan, which will be taking place in November. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops. Wayne Rooney has been found guilty of being a drunk driver. So the 31-year-old's been banned from driving for 2 years.
Wayne Rooney.
Can't drive. Can't drive for 2 years. He also has to go forward and do 100 hours of unpaid work as part of a 12-month community order.
Now, I think that's awesome.
Well, and on top of that, he's been fined £170.
Yeah.
See, I think that would be horrible for an ordinary average citizen. He'll get a driver. He'll pay that off. Probably the toughest part for him is doing the community service.
Can you imagine if he had to ride his own van around? Because if he wasn't playing football, he'd be doing some sort of manual labor. Imagine he had a van full of like bathroom utilities and supplies. Then he'd be screwed. But you're right. No, this isn't like really going to affect him.
Oh, Wayne Rooney had to fix your plumbing.
He had to fix toilet. Ugh. around the back. So it's quite funny that when you get to a position like that, and you, is it because players believe they're invincible, so they don't need to worry about the laws? This guy, like you said, Sia, he can literally own a driver. He can actually buy a human being whose sole purpose is to drive for him. That's how much money he has. But he still drives drunk. Well, it just shows that most of these guys are absolute children and never grew up. Mm-hmm. 7 Box have been released to the Currie Cup, so there's a bit of a gap down the Rugby Championship. Next weekend, the Box will play Australia in Bloom. So Andre Pollard will get some game time, some much-needed game time for the Bulls. Same with De Allende for Western Province. But Dylan Lades will also be there, and so will Wilco Lowe, Chili Boy Ralapele, Dan Dupree, and Rudy Page.
Hey, by the way, I saw the Springboks arriving at the airport yesterday. Yeah. There were about 10 people there to meet them. 10 diehards, and then Alistair Coetzee gave exactly the speech that Ben predicted he would.
Yep. Well, we were dominant on the field, and actually we didn't really lose by that much if you take into consideration X, Y, and Z. He's living in complete denial.
Yep.
It's completely, that's all he is. And tonight there's some PSL action to look forward to. So Cape Town City, they'll take on Orlando Pirates. That will take place at 7:30. Pirates are still unbeaten in the league. And when last could we say that? Long, long time ago. 7:30 tonight, that's the big game. And that's about it, Gareth. That's it for
all
sport.
Right, thank you very much, Ben. Over to Anthea Gardner. Did I say Anthea? There she is. Anthea. So hard for it, honey. She was hard for the money, so you better treat her right. That's it. She was hard for the money. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth. I don't think I've heard this version before.
No, there's a new one every couple of days. You know, we try to keep it fresh for you. We don't want you to get bored.
I should know by now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the market, there's not much going on in company news, not many companies reporting. So it really is about just following global markets. And luckily for us yesterday, global markets were higher. So we closed 0.75% up. Decent volume, $1.8 billion traded. This potentially is ahead of closeout on Thursday, derivatives closeout on Thursday. Although Naspers was about 40% of that volume. And just on Naspers, it really has been a bit of an underperformer of late. It's trading about 2,955 Rand. And I say it's an underperformer because Tencent has absolutely rallied in the last week, and this share is just kind of, you know, just hanging around, not doing too much, which means actually that the rump of the business, or the discount to the rump, has actually now widened to all-time high levels. In other words, it, like, if it doesn't, it should play catch up, I think is what I'm trying to say here.
All right.
So if you want to take a little punt on Naspers over the next couple of days, it's probably not a bad idea. The Rand was so much weaker, 13.28 to the dollar we're trading this morning. And I was a little bit confused about this because, so I understand what's going on with the Rand. You know, the U.S. consumer inflation came out yesterday, so the dollar's, or sorry, last week, so the dollar's a bit stronger. And I think people are speculating that the Reserve Bank may cut interest rates on Thursday. So I don't think so. But this Rand, the weaker Rand normally would make banks underperform or turn negative. And yesterday the bank's index was up almost 3%. And so the only explanation I can think of is that people are speculating that the Reserve Bank may cut interest rates. Okay. I don't believe that. So we'll just wait and see for Thursday.
Okay.
I mean, it would be nice, of course, right? The consumer would appreciate that.
Any break, because I hear also that the petrol price is going to go up again.
Oh, yes, by a huge margin, by a big nominal amount in October, right? First week of October or something.
Mm-hmm. That's terrific, isn't it?
Just great. Yeah. Anyway, Discovery reported yesterday. I mean, this is not a simple business. You know, it really has become very complicated. But I tell you what it definitely shows, it is a disruptive business. I mean, it's gaining market share across all target segments. So new business in Discovery Health, which is kind of their medical schemes business, and Life, Discovery Insure, increased between 16 and 19%. Ping An, which is the Chinese business, grew market share by 80% year on year. They generated a full year profit, this is just Ping An, of 25 million Rand. And that's profit, not kind of operational. And I've always spoken about the green that kind of the blue sky green shoots business, this Ping An business. And it really is proving to be exceptional. Vitality Health increased their operating profit by 52% year on year. It just sounds like a phenomenal business, although I guess I should say the sun doesn't shine brightly for all their divisions, because the UK life business really still under pressure, and that's because it's trading in a low interest rate environment, which kind of is the developed market, right, the UK.
Sure.
And their products tend to be linked to interest rates. So I was kind of reading through the presentation and the results yesterday, and I must say, I think there is huge upside optionality in this business because of what they're doing with big data, the ability to design products and around this big data. I think you could probably call it behavioral economics. And so it really looks exciting. I mean, you know, there's like a whole lot of other stuff. They're launching the bank and the credit card and all that. Oh, sorry, they've got the credit card, the bank, I mean. Mm-hmm. But I just think that they are streaks ahead of everybody else at the moment.
All right.
And then Steinhoff, this is an interesting one, because they have been... What is the word? They've received a petition to present their financials in front of the Enterprise Chamber of the Amsterdam Court of Appeal, because you know they've got this drama where one of their previous joint venture partners was taking them to court and they're being investigated. And it seems that – and so the hearing is on Thursday, this Thursday, and it's a bit disappointing because they've got the star listing tomorrow – and the share just has not performed. And I think investors are just nervous about this kind of investigation, this continuous ongoing kind of attack, if you like, by not just the regulator, but their previous joint venture partner. And you know, Christo Visser came out not last week, the week before, completely denying everything, saying there's nothing and it's just sour grapes with the old venture partner. But it definitely is having an impact on their share, because it really is not performing very well at the moment.
No, definitely.
Okay. So I think, did you not buy some when they had that, when the share fell? I mean, like it fell, what, 8 or 9% in one day? And I was saying that at anything at like kind of below 60 or 60, it's absolutely ridiculously cheap.
Yeah.
And it's only barely managed to get to what, 62 Rand now?
Yeah.
So just disappointing.
Well, let's see. There's probably still some upside. We just have to wait. We have to learn what you've told us, to be patient, right?
Indeed. Look at that.
It's not timing the market. It's time in the market.
My work here is done.
Oh, all right, Anthea.
All right, Gareth. Have a good day.
Thanks. We'll check in with you tomorrow. There we go. Anthea Gardner and the Money Shot. Sia, over to you. Said by Sia.
Thank you. Well, how old is too old to do something new?
Depends on what that something new is.
Yeah. If it's trapeze. Pole vaulting. Uh-huh. 50's too old, I reckon.
There was a woman the other day who went skydiving for her 80th birthday, yeah. I think.
Wasn't it 100th even?
Oh, really?
If I'm not mistaken, yeah. She was really old. Oh, yeah. Well, if you want to launch a business or become a great leader or change careers, as Alton was saying earlier, or just do something different with your life, at what point really is it just too late to be successful? Well, I personally think to be successful, the short answer is never. And okay. In case you need a little inspiration this morning to show that it can be done no matter what age you've reached, here are a few amazing people who I've gathered who really do show that real success is, well, there for the making and the taking. So does the name Nick Woodman sound familiar?
No.
Mm-mm. If the name doesn't sound familiar, the company definitely does. Nick Woodman, at the age of 42, is one of the youngest people, actually, to feature on the annual Forbes list of billionaires, having generated his riches at the helm of GoPro, the ever-popular company that makes wearable cameras. Now, before he started GoPro, that has doubled its revenue every year since he founded it, by the way, Woodman had already failed twice in business before. Now, by the time he was actually ready to see if third time was really the charm, Nick had moved in with his parents and he had started the journey with GoPro while he was traveling in this old VW van where he was building the first prototype and he had wrote his first patent. And when he speaks about this, he says, as an entrepreneur, it's this dark forest you're going through. And, you know, there's scary things in there and you just plow ahead and you come out the other side and all your friends are there and everyone's cheering and having a great time. So listen, he has a good experience of it. But the truth is, it's not all roses and petals and good smells somewhere and it's, all the time.
This is a very good point. I mean, you know, anyone could have invented the GoPro. This guy did, and he did it in his third attempt. He failed twice before.
Look at that.
Love
it. Samuel L. Jackson, we've heard his story many times before. He's like a Hollywood heavyweight now. But did you know that he actually landed his first major role in a movie at the age of 43?
Pulp Fiction.
It was in Jungle Fever with Spike Lee, actually.
Oh, that's right.
In 1991. So up until then, he had nothing.
Wow.
Charles Darwin, he only wrote The Origin of Species at the age of 50. Betty White, she got her iconic role in the Mary Tyler Moore Show back when she was only 51 years old.
Wow, before that, she'd been messing around, huh? Betty White.
Here, then, everywhere. Henry Ford, he only created the Model T car when he was 45 years old. And then, of course, the now famous story of Colonel Sanders. He was 62 years old when he franchised the first KFC back in 1952. So the conclusion here is we hear and we read of many stories about successful people and they're impressive and we take nothing away from them. But the truth of the matter is not everybody's going to create a popular social media site when you're in college, or not everyone is going to go to their first audition and then be this A-list in Hollywood. But the truth of the matter is success has a bigger and broader definition. And the truth is sometimes going to success may have many detours. So just embrace that and listen. Always remember that you can always go after what you want. That's it by Sia this morning.
Solid. Very nice, Sia. Very nice.
Thank you, thank you.
It makes me feel better. I always feel like such a loser when I read about these people who've done these amazing things and they're only 30 years old. You know, it makes the rest of us feel a bit slow.
And new things keep you young because it keeps your brain working.
No. All right, well, when we come back in a moment or two, we've got a whole bunch of fun. We've got some news. We've got all kinds of things. Don't forget, Ringo Madlingosi is our guest this morning. A legendary South African artist, someone who's contributed hugely to the culture of South Africa and whose songs are well known all over the world. He's coming up in a short while. He'll be on with us at 8 o'clock this morning. CliffCentral.com. It's 7:02.
This is CliffCentral.com.